For our scripture, a very familiar portion that has been read over and over, not only here, but I believe that each pulpit is also reading from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse number 1. Matthew's gospel, 28th chapter, beginning with verse number 1. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse number 1. These words are recorded. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Read for your hearing from Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through verse number 7. May the Lord continue to bless us through his word. For a subject today, also familiar, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Harry Belafonte sang a song that asked, Were you there when they crucified our Lord? Now I know that's a rhetorical question. And of course, we were not there when they crucified our Lord. But the drama that we watch on TV during this month will give us some idea of the people that might have been there. We hear them tell how they might have experienced the dramatic events on Calvary. The shepherds, the Roman officer, Peter and Mary, and how they were all touched in their own personal way by what happened that day. Each of them has gone through some unique experience with Jesus. Each of them had a unique relationship with him. So when we look at today's gospel about the resurrection, we see women going to the tomb where Jesus was buried immediately after the crucifixion. You see, it was on Sunday morning. They went to finish the anointing of his body. Like the other disciples, they were disillusioned and they were confused. What happened on Friday was impossible to get a hold of. It should never have happened. It was the abrupt and painful ending of what should have been a success story. The man whom they love and who they believe was destined to rule Israel as king forever now lie dead and buried. All the disciples were overcome by fear and despair. 11 were hiding. They dared not go to the tomb for fear of being caught by the authorities. Only the women had the courage to go. Bible says that on the morning of the third day, there was a violent earthquake as the Lord's angel came from heaven and rolled back the stone. Can you imagine the Roman soldiers who were posted at the tomb? I mean, think about it. What were they going to do? See, this was the God that spoke the world into existence. The God who scooped up a cup full of dirt and breathed life into this. This was the God that parted seas and waters. The God that made water flow from a rock. The God that turned a woman into a pillar of salt. And one who brought a giant of a man to his knees before a young shepherd boy. This was the God that swallowed up a man for 3 days in the belly of a fish. And the same God that allowed that man to live. This is the God that preserved an old prophet in a lion's den. And the same God that swallowed up naysayers in the ground. See, I know the soldiers probably didn't believe any of that, but actually, what were they going to do even if they did? We know what they did do. They fainted on the spot. Yeah. Probably needed some diapers. And see, God's plans aren't bothered by what man or old Slewfoot and his demons might do. You see, God is sovereign. He knows all and he's all powerful. They could have posted tens of thousands of guards that weekend, but that grave was still going to open. Well, see, have you ever taken time to think that the entire Old Testament is Satan's attempt to prevent the birth and resurrection of a Savior and the story of how God wasn't bothered by any of it? God promised us a Savior. Yes. Satan killed Abel. God provided a Seth. And the story goes on and on. Jesus is born of a virgin, and King Herod tries to kill him. Jesus sets his path to the cross, and Satan tries to tempt him. Jesus is pouring his heart out in the garden, and Judas betrays him, but none of this mattered. Jesus came to earth for those very things, to be born of a virgin, to live in victory over sin, to die a cruel sacrificial death for you as well as for me, and finally to be raised from the dead on that following Sunday morning over 2,000 years ago. You see, they rolled away the stone. When they did that, it proves that Jesus opened a door that before was sealed shut. And that shows us that there is a way to eternal life through God's Son, Jesus the Christ. When the stone was rolled away, so did all obstacles to eternal life. With the rolling away of the stone, the resurrection became possible. With the rolling away of the stone, death was defeated. With the rolling away of the stone, the promises of God were unlocked to all who came to the open tomb. The angel's message to the women that day was the greatest news they had ever heard. I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen. See, Jesus is the risen Savior. Then we of all people ought to be the most joyous folks on the planet. You see, have you really listened to the words of the great hymnals? I said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And some said up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. We often sing it a lot. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living whatever men may say. You see, I wonder how it disappoints God to see his people who have been delivered from darkness to light, from blindness to sight, from weeping to laughter, from bondage to sin, to liberty in Christ, walking around with their heads hanging down. We ought to celebrate the goodness and the glory and the majesty of God. We should celebrate today the risen Savior. He's not in the tomb. Christ is risen. Think about it now. No more nails in his hands, no spike through his feet, no thorny crown on his head, no blood running down his forehead and side. Christ is risen. He has the keys to heaven. He has the keys to hell. He has victory over death and the grave. We now have the right to the tree of life. Once again, remember, it's not just the historical reality of the empty tomb. It's just not the promises and the predictions of Jesus. It's just not the earthquake, not even the angels. For us, the central point in the gospel is not only the death of Jesus on the cross, but his rising from the dead. Paul wrote in Corinthians, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. For the women who hurried away from the tomb, the resurrection only became a personal reality when they had that personal encounter with the Lord. You see, there are so many people on the face of this earth, who call themselves Christians.
Come on.
They basically accept the claims of the Bible. At least intellectually. They may even be active members in a faith community, and yet they have not encountered the living Savior personally. You see, they're like people who know of the fountain of living water. They're offered the bread of life, and yet they do not drink of the water or eat of the bread that can truly give them life. You see, in Christ, God the Father offers us eternal life, citizenship of the kingdom of heaven, and adoption into his family. But we must personally receive that gift from him. We must receive Jesus in our lives. We must enter into a personal relationship with him. The facts of the death and resurrection of Jesus are of no benefit to us unless we take ownership of him.
Amen.
Make Jesus your own. So be encouraged today. Christ is risen. The light shines now in the darkness. The bright morning star has risen in our hearts. He arose with all power, taking the sting out of death and victory away from the grave. Christ is risen. The one who just 3 days ago went to that hill called Calvary, where he suffered, where he died, and where he was buried. But hallelujah, early that next Sunday morning, just like this Sunday morning, my Jesus and your Jesus got up with all power in his hand, got up, was able to heal the sick again, got up, able to cleanse the lepers, got up, able to discharge debtors, deliver captives, defend the feeble, bless the young, even serve the unfortunate, got up, regardless of your age, he forgives sinners. Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Don't let Satan fool you. Just because the Easter Bunny ran sometime last night had nothing to do with Christ rising early this morning. He's alive, he arose, and he can rise in your heart if you just allow him. He lived, he died, and he rose again from the dead just for you and just for me. Christ is risen. May God bless you. Thank you.